Spirit Radio Podcasts.
School, of course, has just started very, very recently for many kids, and probably over the summer, lots of your kids did really lovely things that seemed quite ordinary to them, though. Things like summer camps, might have been kind of state school or something sporting. And I guess it's probably something that we here in Ireland would take totally for granted. For so many children around the world, this is not the case. Well, our next guest travelled to Romania this summer, and the idea was to run a summer camp for children who come from very poor backgrounds. And it's just incredible the impact that the work that they did with these children has had on their lives. And just even getting a little bit of an insight into some of the circumstances that they come from, it's quite difficult, especially as a mother, to be honest with you, to kind of comprehend just the poverty that is out there that children are living among, but still are so beautiful and happy and smiley and full of joy and hope. In studio to tell us more, we have Carol Hennessy from Team Hope, and Katrina's with us in studio as well. They are both recently just back from Romania. So thanks so much for coming into studio, both of you. Well, tell us a little bit about the camp, first of all, Carol, the background, why it was decided to be run. Team Hope, of course, does work in so many different countries all over the world. Why this camp? Why Romania?
Okay, well, as you know, we love the Christmas shoebox appeal. We love just blessing children and just giving them joy and hope. And one of the things that we have done since the year 2000 is run summer camps in Eastern Europe and also in Africa, a couple in Africa. But my heart is in Eastern Europe. And when I just thought about this summer, what can we do? And I've done it for the past few summers. Let's do a summer camp for a week with children who would never have a holiday, never get the chance to eat an ice cream, be spoiled, take them away from their daily grind and just have fun. And what better way to spend 10 days?
So how many children then were able to go to this camp?
We had 35 children, and we had a team of 7 volunteers from Ireland, and we worked with our Christian partners in Romania, and they're based in Cluj in Transylvania.
And did they decide, or do they know kind of the families of the area, and they're able to know, look, this child or their brothers and sisters or all of them would really benefit? It must be hard to kind of almost pick which children get to do the camp.
Exactly. I work with Chris, one of the social workers, and she was telling me, you know, we were through our international sponsorship program, we help some of these families throughout the year, and then we wanted to take some of the children on camp. But Chris and Maria had the job of trying to see which children should come to camp. We knew the age groups, 8 to 13. We would take boys and girls, but how many? You know, I said, well, maybe 30, you know. And then Chris came back to me. She said, Carol, we have 35 children. I can't possibly decide which 30. So I said, let's, the Irish team will fundraise, we can do it, we'll bring the extra 5, don't worry, there's room for everyone. So
tell us a little bit, Katrina, then, about your experience. What happened during the camp?
It was a truly unforgettable experience. I guess from start to finish it was all go. You know, we'd wake up in the mornings and we'd do aerobics in the mornings. Then we'd go for breakfast. There'd be jam-packed day with crafts and sport. And I think the kids, for me, to see the self-confidence in the kids, you know, once they were going home.
Was that what a lot of it was about? Just building up these children in their confidence, in their knowing that they're loved?
Yes, absolutely. Because I think, yeah, Katrina, you know, and Wendy, when you see them coming, they're shy, they're nervous, they don't know whether we're going to be kind to them and how we're going to treat them. But my goodness, once they arrive, from the moment they arrive, you know, they are loved. And just for adults to spend time with them, to throw ball with them, to play football, volleyball, do crafts with them, just sit with them even, you know, and help them make a friendship bracelet out of wool. Something so simple. But I just love to affirm the children as well, and each one of them to know that they are loved and special. So,
and did you find just kind of really the simplest of things had the greatest impact?
Absolutely. You know, the leaders like Katrina would be looking out for 7 kids each day, and some positive attributes that we could see. And, yeah.
What sort of backgrounds do these children come from?
They're all desperately poor backgrounds. They lived in two rural villages. One village was so remote, only recently they built a road to access it. So they were on tops of mountains. You know, some of the children had never actually been to Cluj, which was only a half an hour away. They'd never ridden on a bus or been in a train, things like that. So it was just amazing.
And you were even kind of just doing things like saying, this is how you brush your teeth.
Exactly. You know, Ruth, one of the volunteers, she does a great job. And what she does is we make up hygiene packs. We bring out the toothpaste, toothbrush, the soap, face flannel. And Ruth will show, you know, this is the way we brush our teeth. And it was just good fun.
I know that song.
Wash your hands and, you know.
Trying to teach a year and a half old to do it at the moment. What was the sort of reaction from the kids then? What did you see over the 10 days?
I think they were just overwhelmed by the love. You know, I think they came and they didn't know quite what to expect. But by the time they were going home, they knew that they could have fun with adults. They knew they were important, that each one of them was special. That even though they all had different personalities, and no matter whether, even if they couldn't be good at football, that they could sit with us and do a craft, whatever, that they felt part of our family.
And what about these children? Well, are they in school, all of them? Or what's the situation where education is concerned?
Some of them are attending school, some aren't, unfortunately. Like, there was one girl, Andrea, and she was gorgeous. She was about 10 years old, and she had not ever had the opportunity to go to school. Her mum thought, and her dad, it's not important. You can just stay at home, help mind the other babies, you know. And it's just so sad. And that's a challenge for our partners, to work with these families, to encourage them to get training, to send their kids to school. And because that's the only way out of the poverty trap.
It's so important, isn't it? And a little bit about the next step, because the kids have, as you said, just an amazing 10 days, but then it must be sad not only for the children but for you to come home and knowing, okay, they're going back to some of these difficult situations.
Yeah, and I think, you know, yes, we visited some of them in their homes, but I always say to the team, it's great just to be able to place each of these children into God's hands and know that He's watching over them, He's looking after them, and will take care of them. And our job is just to pray for them. And, you know, and just pray for our partners as well and support them.
And the work that they're doing on the ground.
And the work that they are doing on the ground. Because when we visited the homes, we brought some food parcels with us. And these were totally unexpected visits. And the children just, their eyes were out in stalks. They couldn't believe we had come to their homes to visit them. And the parents were so happy. But we discovered all of the children that we visited 24 hours after camp, none of them had eaten a single thing since they had left camp. You know, if they get one meal a day, and this is Romania, this is Europe, an EU country, but there are people living in dire conditions.
Well, I know all the children have, of course, stories to tell.
Yes.
But tell us just a little bit about Ovindu and his home, just to give people an idea of some of the children you were working with.
Oh, I just loved Ovindu. He was just a character at the camp, and he loved music. And he was a little pudgy, but he was just lovely. And he did smile and really clean hair. He obviously took to the shower every day, and he learned a chord and the guitar, and we visited his home. When we went to his home, it was, first of all, it was the remote village, and we saw 100 sheep just sheltering under a tree. It was like a scene from a Bible. And then we climbed up the hill and we saw little shack, and we thought, well, is this for the sheep or does somebody live here? It was actually Ovindu's home, and it was plastic sheeting. There was two rooms. Whatever was there was really tidy. There was little bits of furniture, odd bits, and you know, there's a couple of the crafts. And his mum was there and his three brothers. And mum told us that Ovindu said, you know, the night isn't long enough to tell you all about camp, all the stories. And he said, well, yes, it's good to smell the fresh air at home, and it's nice to be home. And he had so much to tell.
But so much joy and positivity.
Yes, yes.
And one thing that was probably lovely for you was, of course, Team Hope are so well known for their Christmas shoebox appeal. And these children had received shoeboxes previously. Did they tell you about that?
They did, because I always have to ask, did you get shoeboxes? Do you know about them? And they had. And it was so exciting. And every one of them had. And I asked, well, what do you remember from your Christmas and your shoebox gift? And I said, you know, do you think sweets are important? they're nice, they said, but you know, they're not that important because they'll be gone in a few minutes. So I said, what do you think is really important? The number one thing that should be in a shoebox. And I was expecting some nice toy or something, cuddly toy or a hat. Do you know what it was, Wendy? It was a copybooks and school supplies. I was totally amazed.
Because these children want to learn. They want to be educated. They want to go to school.
Yes, like children in Africa would tell me, we need copybooks and passport. It's like, or copybooks, it's like a passport
to
education.
To their education. Yeah.
And one little girl said, but you know, she said, I got a lovely hairbrush in my shoebox. And she'd gorgeous, thick, dark hair, you know, and she just loved it, didn't she, Katrina?
She did, yeah.
And what sort of an impact has it had on you, Katrina? What do you feel as you've come back to Ireland?
I guess on some level, you know, you meet the kids for the week in camp and they're all so happy and they're enjoying all the games. And actually, the reality then of the house visits we did, it was, you know, quite emotional that you actually see them in their home environments. That on some level, you know, it's very basic, and maybe on some level I wasn't expecting it to be. And I guess when I came home, really a level of, I felt very privileged that I could just hop in my car or I could go down to the supermarket and get whatever I wanted. You know, to meet the kids that hadn't eaten after they left camp, but still so happy.
Yeah, in spite of that, in spite of all the things we take for granted, yeah. Copybooks, pencils, yeah. Hairbrushes. Finally, just to ask you both, there's kind of two sides to the pancake in that a lot of people will listen to this and go, this is amazing, the work that you are doing, that's really fueled by your faith as well. Yeah. On the other hand, other people might say, gosh, does that not really challenge your faith when you see this level of poverty, you know? How does it impact your faith, this kind of work?
I think Jesus gives us a heart to help others and to open our eyes just to see the needs around us and not maybe to be so self-centered in our own little world here in Ireland. And I think, you know, we are blessed to be a blessing. And I think whatever little we can do, it might only be send a shoebox or, you know, support somebody and give a T-shirt or whatever. But whatever little we can do, it can be multiplied. And in God's hands, I think that's amazing. You know, it's just, for me, I just feel so privileged to be involved in this work and just to be able to bless the kids. I said to Maria, one of the social workers, I said, you know, why do you keep on going? Because you see the challenges day after day. We're only out for a week. This must be so hard, trying to get kids to school, trying to get families to, you know, improve their life. And she said, well, we're sowing seeds for God's kingdom, you know, and we're helping. We don't know how, but and sometimes they get on back on track, the families, and things come together.
Yeah, I often wonder, is God up there looking down at the world saying, there's enough in this planet for everybody? There is actually abundantly enough. Yeah. But sadly, things aren't distributed that way. But that's why it's great to have incredible people that give so generously. Not only of their time, but praying as well.
Absolutely.
And I suppose the power of those children, knowing that there's people in little old Ireland thinking of them, praying for them and their families. Caroline, Katrina, thank you so much for chatting to us about the work that you did this morning. And of course, if people want to support the work of Team Hope, the best place to go is to go onto their website, teamhope.ie.
Can I just say also that we're starting the Christmas shoebox appeal, just as you mentioned it there a few minutes ago, Wendy. And
that's the one early Christmas promo we don't mind.
You don't mind? I said, oh, help.
The selection boxes, you know, in the supermarket in September, not so good. But the Christmas shoebox appeal for Team Hope is all good.
Do log on to our website, as you said, teamhope.ie. And we are looking for volunteers around the country, especially in Waterford, Roscommon, Dundalk, Drogheda. Longford, wherever you are in the country, we would love to hear from you. So just phone us 01294 0222. There's space for everyone to be a part of Team Hope.
Great stuff. Thank you so much. Teamhope.ie is the website.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.